Taking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the Psalm 119, reading verses 73 and 74. The Psalm 119, reading verses 73 and 74. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. It is clear that the Lord had worked in the heart of the psalmist. His prayer here and throughout this psalm is indicted by his God. We can see that he asks a good thing. We can see that the path the Lord has brought him in has been profitable. The psalm is clearly the writing of a man who has been taught of the Lord. There are clear indications. The work of sanctification. He can see, as we have read this evening, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And he asks in our text here for blessed things. He first of all speaks here in confession. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And we look at his confession here and see lying in it teaching. The work of God's Spirit in his soul. The clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. Words of the prophet Isaiah, we are all the work of thy hands. Work of the words of the Lord's servant, the apostle Paul, ye are his workmanship. And the psalmist in the 138th, I think it is psalm, thou art perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, what a blessed mercy if we can come in with the psalmist here in the hand of his God upon him, the teaching of the Spirit in his heart, and enter into the truth that lies here not only naturally, physically, but spiritually, providentially in the path. Thy hands have made me and fashion me. He could speak here of his natural body, but I don't believe he was speaking of that, although it was possibly in his mind. But the work of God in the soul, the work of grace in his heart. Oh, that new creature in Christ Jesus. You hath he quickened, said the dear apostle in his letter to the church at Ephesus. He could see the good hand of his God upon him, and he could trace not only the work of grace, but the work of sanctification. Thy hands has fashioned me. What lies in that? The work of God in the soul of his dear church to conform them to the image of Christ. The working of those all things that work together for good. Those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The psalmist was given by his God blessed view of his pathway, his life, his soul, the work of grace in his heart. And there is this divine hallmark about it. He traced everything to the hand of his God, the good hand of his God upon him. And we see here the truths that lie within the text. Made me and fashioned me. He could look back in eternity past to that everlasting loving kindness. Before I formed thee in the womb, said the Lord to his dear servant Jeremiah, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. And this dear man of God, this psalmist, could see this. The Lord had shown him. Blindness, ignorance had been taken from him. And he had a sight of the hand of God in his life, in his path, in his soul, in his circumstances. Eternal. Oh, the mighty hand of his God that he could see here. And he could speak of it lovingly, affectionately. He could trace the good hand of his God with him. And I come to this tonight, can we? Can you? Can I? Can we see the hand of our God in the pathway? Can we come in with the psalmist here? Can we see and feel the hand of our God in the pathway shaping us, fashioning us? Can we trace his work of grace in our soul? Can we see this divine hand and will and purposes? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And oh, what has he done? Has he brought us out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light? Has he brought us into the paths of obedience? Has he separated us from this world that lieth in wickedness? Can we trace it? Thy hands have made me. Can we look back as the Apostle Paul did to see the hand of his God upon him, separating him from that false hope that he had rested in, that religion that he later described as dung and dross? Oh, the grace, the wisdom, the light that shone in his heart, the mighty work of God in his soul that quickened him, that opened his ears to hear the voice of his God, that brought him into the paths of obedience, to follow the glorious precepts of the gospel, and to follow his Lord and Master in humble submission, and in faith, and in hope. Thy hands have made me, and fashioned me. It is a glorious confession. You know the redeemed in glory, as we read of them in the opening chapter of the book of the Revelation, confess this same confession. And their confession is this: unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There is a separation from the things of time and sin. There is a looking unto Jesus. Oh, the mighty work of God that opens the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to obey him, to hear his voice, to know his commandments, and to be given grace to walk in his precepts, and to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Here the psalmist speaks out of the depths of his heart, in love to his God, thy hands, the mighty hand of his God upon him, hath made me and fashioned me. He could see it not only in the miracle of his body in creation, but he could see it in the mighty work of grace in his soul. And he could trace it out in that verse which has rested with us in the past 2 years. Thou art our Father. We're the clay. Thou art potter. We're all the work of thy hands. Oh, how blessedly the Lord moves in the lives and hearts of his dear people, in the fiery furnaces of sorrow and tribulation and affliction, as the psalmist knew it here. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Where is the soul of the dear sinner conformed to the image of Christ, except in the work of the Spirit, in sanctification, in the fiery trials of affliction? And here the psalmist could see it fashioned me, conformed to the image of his dear Son. This is the purpose of God, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Oh, what a mighty work of God this is, to fashion his dear people. When we look at some of the dear saints in Scripture, I think at this moment of Naomi, how the Lord fashioned her. 3 open graves and a bitter cup of sorrow. He fashioned her, and she knew it and felt it. The Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. What was he doing? He was conforming her to the image of his dear Son. He was separating her from an arm of flesh. He was bringing her to a dependence upon himself. And he was bringing her to obedience. He was making her as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. She needed the fiery furnace. It was given in love and glorious wisdom that she should pass that way, so that the grace of God in her heart would bring her one day to that blessed place where she could speak as she did to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter." She hadn't done it. She'd gone in her own strength. She'd gone in her own wisdom. And the Lord had stripped her and brought her down. "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." And the Lord will, in the paths of his dear people, strip them of self and pride and self-sufficiency, and humble them, bring them down in the fiery furnaces. Why did he bring his dear servant Elijah and leave him to fall before Jezebel? Why bring him to that place after all the blessings he'd had on Carmel? Well, it was a thorn in the flesh, just as the apostle had after the sacred revelation he had. The Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. He was to be brought down, humbled, fashioned. And the Lord gives crosses and sufferings and sorrows, deep, bitter, crucifying sorrows. Oh, be certain of this: when the Lord works, he works effectually. When he fashions and conforms and brings us to himself, brings us to the mercy seat, to cry unto him in our sorrows. When he sends afflictions, as he did upon Hezekiah and so many of his dear people, it is to bring them to himself, humbled, as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. And the Lord is well conversant with us each. We're all different. And he gives different crosses and different thorns in the flesh and different sorrows to different ones. But he's fashioning. And from the very moment of his work, it is to fashion his dear people. And the apostle on his knees in the street called straight, when the Lord said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth," was being fashioned. The Lord was working in his heart. Ask yourself this: are my sorrows being used of God to bring me to himself? Is my cup being used of God to bring me to his mercy seat, to seek his help? Have I a pathway in which I can get no help except from God? I can take my cup to no one else except to him. Nobody understands it. He alone understands it. Oh, when the Lord is fashioning his dear people, he is bringing them to that place where there is communion between themselves and him. And they are being brought to speak to him at the mercy seat, to tell him their sorrows, and to seek his grace and his help. And here we see the psalmist, as he goes through this psalm, in faithfulness thou hast, he says, afflicted me, and I am afflicted very much, and it is good for me that I have been afflicted. What a blessed place the Lord brought him to. And now he goes on to the second part of this text. And this was a part that rested in our minds in the beauty and simplicity of it. Into his heart is put a prayer, a simple prayer. You know, this prayer is as simple as the prayer we read of in the scripture: Lord, help me. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Oh, to have understanding. What a blessed thing that is. An understanding of what we are as fallen creatures before our God. An understanding of what we are capable of as fallen creatures and what is in our heart. An understanding like the Apostle Paul had in the 7th of Romans, when he groaned over his heart, "O wretched man that I am, give me understanding." Or an understanding of the deceitfulness of my own heart. The prophet had that understanding when he said this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Give me understanding." And you know, as we go on in this blessed understanding, oh, to be given by God understanding in the way of salvation, to be brought and led and taken and shown what Bunyan's pilgrim sought, that way everlasting, that cross of Calvary. Dear evangelist said to the pilgrim, "Seest thou yonder shining light?" "I think I do." "Give me understanding." Understanding in the way of salvation. To be brought to go to Christ. to flee for refuge to Calvary's cross, to come as a sinner to God's mercy seat. The dear hymn writer said this: the way I see, give me understanding, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. What a mercy if this prayer is answered. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me, says the psalmist. And then he comes to this prayer: give me understanding. Oh, what a blessed prayer this is, that the Lord would teach us and lead us in the way everlasting, open our eyes to behold, as the scriptures say, wondrous things out of his law. Show us the way of salvation. The disciples said to Jesus, and how can we know the way? And he said unto them, I am the way, the truth and the life. Oh, the sacred nature of that word of Christ, give me understanding. He led them in that way everlasting. And when on the road to Emmaus, they could not comprehend what had happened at Calvary's cross, and they walked in sadness, then he opened to their understanding the scriptures. Oh, how the Lord uses the foolishness of preaching to open to poor sinners' hearts an understanding of the way of salvation, and leads them and shows them that pathway to come to him, and gives them the grace to obey that heavenly injunction: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you ever come to your God and said to him, give me understanding? Understanding in the pathway I am now walking. Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason. Give me understanding. Oh, show me. When we look at the case of Job, what a understanding he was given. He said at the end of that book, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, how he had an understanding of what the Lord was doing with him. He was brought to this at the end of the book: behold, I'm vile. And he put his hand on his mouth and said no more. He saw what the Lord was doing with him, bringing him down, giving him understanding, showing him the depths of the fall in his own nature, his own solemn pathway, and bringing him to poverty: behold, I am vile. Oh, the work of sanctification. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. And you know, it's as though the psalmist is saying, Lord, show me all thy dealings and what thou art doing. And give me grace to be still in thy hand. Oh, to be brought to this place. I see it again and again, the depths of the work of God in the soul of a sinner, that in the pathway, in all its crucifying sorrows, he will, with his all-sufficient grace, bring that child to be still in his hand, to accept the cross, to take up the thorn in the flesh, to come like the dear Apostle Paul did: most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, understanding why, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The work is to conform to the image of his dear Son, to bring them to bow beneath the cross. Oh, how we see the Lord in the judgment hall, spat upon, mocked, crowned with thorns. And what did he do? As a lamb dumb before its shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Oh, how the Lord would give his dear people understanding, that they might be still in his dear hands and have a sacred sight. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are made partakers of the sufferings of Christ. Oh, to have understanding in the way of salvation, understanding in the path of sanctification, understanding of what the Lord is doing. The Lord brought Job to a precious understanding, and he brought his dear servant Elijah to the same. Rise and eat, said the Lord to his dear servant, the journey is too great for thee. You can't go in your own strength. My grace is sufficient for you. Forget it not. Seek my help in your pathway. You won't walk alone. You'll fall. And give me understanding in the way to heaven, that we think it not strange. Our master stood the fiery test. He was hated. They hated him without a cause. He was despised and rejected of men. Then think it not strange if he calls his dear church into the same footstep. If we are called to follow him, then we may expect to enter into his footstep and to enter into his pathway. To be despised and mocked of this world and to walk alone. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. This, you know, is the path of obedience. To learn his commandments. I think of the Apostle Peter. He learnt the commandments and learnt what it was to follow his Lord in the solemn path that the Lord permitted him to walk in. He thought, I'll go with you unto death. He thought in his own strength he would obey the Lord's commandments and he would follow him and he'd do everything. But all what he learnt in that judgment hall, what the Lord taught him in that hour, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He had learnt there that he could do nothing without the help of his God. He learnt there the poverty of his own self-sufficiency. He learnt there the solemn nature of what it was to be left. Satan has desired to have thee, may sift thee as wheat, but I've prayed for thee. He was to learn what it was to rest upon his God. And what a path the Lord calls his dear people in, to learn his commandments. And to have them indelibly written in his heart, and to learn what it is to obey them. Oh, how they need grace. Divine grace to be brought to follow him in the sweet commandments. If ye love me, he said in his day, keep my commandments. But there is a beauty and blessedness in the words of the psalmist here. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. When I was in the hospital 18 months ago in Bristol, and I was praying in the night, and I was in my heart just saying these words, Lord, Lord. And it came as an echo from the other side of the ward, and I shall never forget. Why callest thou me Lord, and doest not the things that I say? We have to go into some deep, deep waters to be brought to listen to the voice of our God, to be sifted as we, and to hear, and to be shown those paths that we're walking in which are not in accordance with his holy mind and will. And doest not the things that I say. Oh, the blessed mercy of being brought into paths of obedience to his heavenly mind and will, to be truly as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, to be still, no resistance to his will in any way, but I do always those things that please him, to walk in the footsteps of Christ, not to complain, no murmuring here. This is what I may learn thy commandments. Then there is submission to the will of Christ, obedience, a bowing beneath his will. And then we come to the second verse. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. There is between God's dear church, as taught by his Spirit, as Apostle John says, if we walk in the Spirit, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And we see here, they that see me will be glad. The work of God in the hearts of his dear people is clearly manifested and seen by his own people. The things that are spiritual are spiritually discerned. And when we see the work of grace, be it in the heart of the young, and see them wrought upon by God, and perhaps hear them as they come before the Church of God to speak of what the Lord has done for their soul, then we see there is not a human gladness. It is a spiritual joy that is spoken of here. A union of heart. We can see in them the good hand of their God upon them. And if they have passed through dark paths of sorrows, we can see the fruits of it, sanctified. They that see, that is, that have spiritual eyes, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. See the work of God. These that fear God have discerning eyes to detect the word of God. And the psalmist has this blessed understanding. He realizes that the work of grace in his heart will not be hidden, be manifested, will be seen by others. It'll be known. Oh, this divine work of God in the hearts of his dear people is like a sacred fire that gives out the warmth of love, and it's felt by those around. The grace of God in the soul of a sinner is not hidden. A sinner may think it is, but the work of God in the soul, and when there is an opening of the lips and a communion, have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is spoken of and known in the soul, then the rejoicing. Ah, this is the deep rejoicing that the men on the road to Emmaus knew. Their hearts were glad. Did not our heart burn within us? There was a union with Christ. There was a union with one another. Blessed fellowship in the bonds of the gospel. The Lord had been with them, and they rejoiced. And here we see the psalmist having a sweet realization of the fellowship in the gospel between his dear people who can see the work of God in his heart. Dear Jeremiah, in all the midst of his suffering sorrows, had but two friends in the book of Jeremiah, Baruch and Ebed-Melech. But what a bond existed between them. There was a sweet union of heart, one to another. Jeremiah's life was unmitigated sorrows. He was despised, ignored, rejected like his master, and died unknown in Egypt. And yet, he was a child of God, and between him and Ebed-Melech, who loved him, there was a sweet bond, precious union, and with Baruch, and they that see me, they that fear the Lord, they'll understand, and they will enter into the work of God and the blessedness of it, and they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Simple, isn't it? But oh, how blessed. I say simple in this respect. So clear as it Christ's teaching was, the psalmist puts the blessed, mighty work of God in the heart of a sinner into a few simple words. I've hoped in thy word. And you know, the scriptures speak, and if you look at this 119th psalm, you will see the use of the word. It is spoken of again and again. But we can go back in this respect to the writings of John in his gospel and in his epistles. And you know, in his epistle, he says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled what? Of the word of life. Your hands handled the word of life. For the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here in this psalm, the psalmist, I have hoped. Where is his hope? In the word of Christ, to his soul. What the Lord had spoken to him in his heart. His hope was in Christ. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made forever an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the blessed hope that the apostle spoke of in the fifth of Romans. Tribulation, he says, work is patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart. All this blessed hope that is spoken of here. The psalmist knew it in his own soul. I have hoped in thy word. Throughout this psalm we constantly read, and we preached recently from it, of the testimonies of God. The word spoken by God into our own soul, a divine testimony, indelibly written there forever. The precious promises given. Oh, this word that God has spoken into the souls of his dear church. Here was the hope of the psalmist. In these simple words, he knows the foundation of the work of God in his heart. He knows the divine teaching of God in his soul. He knows the understanding which the Lord gives. The entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. There had been an entrance of the word of God into his heart, and the Lord had opened his eyes and his understanding, and he brought him down in a knowledge of himself, and he brought him to Calvary's cross, and given him understanding and led him to his footstool of mercy. Oh, has the Lord taught you in this same way? Brought you to his footstool. Brought you to prayer. Real prayer. Earnest prayer. Sanctified your sorrows and brought you to cry to him. It doesn't matter how old we are in the way, whether we're nearing the end of the journey, as some of us indeed are, or whether you're at the beginning of the way. When we look at the seed and see the fruit that it produces, it is the same wheat that is sown in the field that produces the fruit that is now being harvested, all in different stages of development. It is the identical. It has life within it. It springs up and brings fruit. It is as much a seed of wheat when it is sown in the ground as when it produces its fruit. And so, whether it be at the beginning of the way or when the sickle is put in and there is the harvest, it is the work of God. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Oh, the divine teaching that brought him to ask that blessed prayer, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Blessed sight. When there is a work of God in the hearts of his dear children, whether it be in old age, at the end of the journey, whether it be at the beginning of the journey, there is a rejoicing in the hearts of God's dear children when they discern the work of God and see it. Here then is the simple work of God, but if you read this sweet psalm, it is full of the heart of the psalmist. He opens his heart again and again, and he asks for sweet sacred blessings. He has been well taught in the truth. This is a most precious psalm, and it shines like the facets of a diamond. It shines on the different facets of the work of grace in the heart of a sinner. Amen.